Right.
There are moms in
Thank you.
Good morning.
Welcome this beautiful morning. It's beautiful, white out there, clean, looks like, at least it looks like it. But it's still chilly and messy out there, so I hope everybody stays safe. We can be safe here. How would that be? We'll begin our worship by standing as you feel able and turn to the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the church and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Hymn number 597, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Mary, Dove, my goal and blame.
peace to God's people on earth.
Said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me there, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have, I will provide for you there. Since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them, and after that his brothers talked with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 37 responsibly. Do not fret yourselves because of evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do you wrong.
For they shall soon wither like the grass, and like the grass fade away.
Put your trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on its riches.
Take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire.
Commit your way to the Lord, and put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass.
He will make your righteousness as clear as the light, and your just dealing as the noonday.
Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him.
Do not fret yourself over the one who prospers, the one who succeeds in evil schemes.
Refrain from anger. Leave rage alone. Do not fret yourself. It leads only to evil.
For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall possess the land.
In a little while, the wicked shall be no more. You shall search out their place, but they will not be there.
But the lowly shall possess the land. They will delight in the abundance of peace.
The deliverance of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble.
The Lord will help them and rescue them. He will rescue them from the wicked and deliver them because they seek refuge in him.
Second reading is from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. In the Apostles' Creed, we speak of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Using the metaphor of a planted seed in the story of Adam, Paul preaches passionately about the mystery of following Christ's perfect life into eternity. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a rare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. A second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of dust, and is the man of heaven. So are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I've asked several people to help with the reading of the gospel, to help remind us that the Word of God is with us, it is among us, and it is alive. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you.
If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also.
And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt.
Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again.
Do to others as you would have them do to you.
If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them.
If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same.
If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again.
But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
Do not judge, and you will not be judged.
Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned.
Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi, guys. Have you ever had somebody do something mean to you?
Yeah.
Have you? What did you want to do? Maybe that's telling. Did you ever feel like you wanted to get back at them? That's what it feels like. You know what Jesus tells us today? He says, let me take care of that. It's hard to do, though, isn't it? To let go when somebody does something bad. What do you think Jesus is talking about when he says, love your enemies? Do you think about loving your enemies? Do you have any enemies? Oh, you guys don't have any enemies. That's good. But the day might come when you might, and Jesus says, love them. That's hard. Are there people you in your class you really don't like? What do you do about it? Ignore them? What do you do? You don't know? Well, you have to think about it. Next time you're with them, what does Jesus tell you when you've got somebody who's just not really a friend, but not really somebody you want to be around? In the gospel, he says, love them and pray for them. Doesn't that sound strange? It does. Well, why don't we pray for those people who are different than we are? Shall we? Gracious God, we thank you that you give us all that we have and all that we are. And we thank you even for our enemies. We ask you to bless them so that they no longer are our enemies, so that now they become our friends. Bless us, Lord, so we can bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Two boys were raised in the same home, same parents. Both boys were abused, not just by the father, but also by the mother. One of them went on and received some counseling and became a blessing to everybody else, many other people who were abused. The other one decided to drown his hurt and pain in alcohol and drugs. Two girls raised in the same home, same parents. One of them became a doctor. The other one became the town prostitute. Five children raised in the same home with the same parents. One of them became a pastor. One of them became a nurse. One of them became a mechanic. One of them became a teacher. Well, how many have I got there? Anyway, the last one, we're up there, okay, and the last one became a wanted criminal. Now, how can this happen? Children raised in the very same home, and I would guess that everybody here knows of families just like that, where you've got one or more who are kind of the black sheep, who are doing the opposite of what all the others are doing. And it just does not make sense. Why would this happen? Why could this happen? What causes it? We really don't know for sure, but my guess is, based on our scriptures, is that it's the choices that people make. We choose the path that we're going to take. Now, if you can, imagine yourself to be, say, a 13, 14-year-old boy. You are really smart. The image of your dad's eye. You are perfect in every way. And your mother pampers you beyond belief. But your brothers and sisters hate your guts. In fact, they hate you so much that when the opportunity arrives, they dump you in a big hole and then sell you as a slave to slave traders who take you to a land you've never been to before, you don't know anything about. In fact, you don't know the language. It doesn't seem like it could get any worse. And yet, you rise to the top and become a leader. And everything is going really well when all at once, under a false accusation, you end up in a prison. Now, this isn't a nice little jail cell like what we might have here in Buffalo. This is a pit. It is where people are thrown to die. It isn't cleaned out more than once a year. It's the garbage. It is the cesspool. It is the toilet. That's where you are kept. But you're smart. And you rise to the top again. And all at once, you catch the eye of the Pharaoh. That's what happened with Joseph. Everything was going against him, and it seemed like nothing could go right, and yet, each time, he rose to the top. Each time, what looked bad became something far better. He rises to the point where he is second in command to Pharaoh. He has the power and the authority to do absolutely anything he wants in that land. And then it happened. The brothers who sold him into slavery are there. Now, there are two sides to this. We know that he has the absolute authority and power to have them tortured to the point where they're crying for death. He has the authority even to have their heads chopped off. He has that ability. But look what Joseph does. When the brothers arrive, Joseph is so overfilled with joy that he has to leave the room to weep. And when he comes back, he doesn't point the finger at them and tell them how bad they are or send them to prison. But instead, he says, "This wasn't your doing. This was God's doing. God brought me here so that I could save our family." Now, that is a strange story, isn't it? But that's the story that leads us into the rest of the scriptures for today. For that is what we are called upon to keep in mind. Joseph reminds me of another young boy, a little shepherd boy, who went through all kinds of horrible things. He was talented, in fact, so talented that the king had him play soothing music for it. He could have had everything, and yet the king turns on him and he is a hunted man. And it looks like this is a man who would say, "God hates me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms." Sounds like a song, doesn't it? But look at the psalm that we read today. Read that again when you get home. In fact, I would suggest you read the whole story of Joseph again, because it's a powerful reminder for us of what God is calling us to do. But in this psalm that we had today reminds me of another psalm of David, which is one of my favorites, Psalm 103, where David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives my sins. He redeems my life from Sheol. He blesses me with every good gift, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Despite what all he's gone through, he can praise God for that. Another guy we read about today is the Apostle Paul, who has gone through everything. He had it all good, and then everything fell apart when he got knocked off his donkey and on the way to Damascus. And then things started to fall apart when he met Jesus. His old life died. And he tells us today about what the difference is in our own lives. Because we are living in the old Adam, full of sin, and it's nothing but dust. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. We'll hear that on Ash Wednesday again and again. That's all we are. But there is a new Adam who wants to live within us. The new Adam who brings new life. This Adam accepted the torment and the suffering and the temptations of humankind. And still, even on the cross, what is his message? One of his last words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If anybody would have the power and the clout, you know, at that very moment, he could have just said, "Forget it," and called down a legion of angels and punished people. But instead, he accepts our pain and our suffering. And in our gospel, he leaves with us a powerful message. Our Bible study this past week was on the Lord's Prayer. And most of the people who were at that will tell you It is one of the most powerful lessons. But what Jesus says in our gospel today, it sounds kind of like it's upside down. It's upside down for our world. In fact, our world has a big lesson to learn. In the book that I wrote, my theme was violence begets violence, peace begets peace. What Jesus says is, love your enemy. That sounds, how can you love somebody you hate? Love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Boy, that's powerful stuff. In our world today, we want to do the opposite. We want to bomb them to smithereens. We want to tear them apart. But Jesus says, love them. Do good to them. Don't hurt them. Bless those who curse you. Oh, it's hard to, when somebody's cursing you, what do you want to do? The human thing, the old Adam in us says, I'd like to curse them right back. Jesus says, bless them and pray for those who abuse you. Powerful lessons for us to learn. And a hard lesson, because we live in a world that wants to do the opposite. Yet, if we're going to truly be Christians, we truly have to live as Jesus teaches us to live. That's true life. To be able to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. In all that I say, in all that I do, in every part of my life. Because then, we truly will be loved. Jesus says several times, and from the Bible study, we were reminded that Jesus points out that we are to forgive even as we have been forgiven. And in a later place, he says, if you have something against your neighbor, leave your gift at the altar and then go make peace. Because if you cannot forgive somebody whom you see, God can't forgive you. Isn't that what we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses. Forgive us. How? We even pray it. And it's almost, if you really listen to that prayer, it puts goosebumps on you and you say, oh, I don't know if I can say that second part. Am I really willing to be forgiven as I have forgiven? Forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. That's what Jesus calls us to, so that we can live a full and complete life. Because without it, we have this cloud hanging over us. The love of God can't come through that cloud if we are the ones who create it. May we let the light of Christ shine in so that the healing love of Christ can flow through us, to our enemies, to those who abuse us, to those who hurt us in every way. May we be the light into a world like that. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 763, My Life Flows On in Endless Song.
Jacoby.
Jacoby. I have Jacoby now.
And Daniel, we'll pray for Daniel Orwick. And Erlene, I haven't heard how is she doing. I tried calling, but I didn't get an answer. And the others?
The Pickering family.
The Pickering family. Okay.
We pray for the church. Fill us with a spirit of generosity and care. Lead us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Show us new ways to be helpful to others. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the earth, grant seasonable weather for the planting and harvesting of crops. Protect farms, orchards, and gardens from damage. Bless those who till the fields, those who care for livestock, especially those who are going through difficult times as cattle are giving birth, and all who provide food. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the nations, for all researchers and leaders who work to resolve complex issues, for all who teach peace and reconciliation to communities in conflict, for those affected by earthquake, drought, or storms, and all who come to their aid, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, for those who lack adequate food, shelter, or access to medical care, for those unable to find gainful employment, comfort the grieving and the sick, and especially we pray for Daniel Orwick, Elaine Hussman, Jacoby, and the Pickering family as they go through their grief with Tony. And those we name in our hearts before you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
For this assembly, inspire us to be good stewards of the resources that you have entrusted to us. Teach us to give freely of ourselves and to offer our lives in service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially Tony. Even in the midst of death, give us faith to trust your promise of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Lord our God, maker of all things, through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he has shone forth to all nations. In the water of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy,
comes to us in his holy supper.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
This is my body given for you. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We seated, I invite all who believe in the presence of Christ to join us at this table.
Take away the sin of the world and
you are able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
I think are brief, just
Reminder that at 1 o'clock, I'm leading a worship at Amy Holt, and you're welcome to join me there at 1 o'clock. Today at 3 o'clock, we have a new member gathering. We'll meet up here around this big table. And this is not a new member class where we're going to take you through the catechism or anything like that. I think all of the people I know of are have Lutheran background, or they are, have been through some of this, so we'll abbreviate it. How's that? And at 3:30, I believe the Centennial Committee might be meeting. Does the chairman of that, Colleen, would you like to say something?
I'm always willing.
I thought so.
We will be meeting today, and most of the decisions have already been made, but we are coming upon June the 2nd, which we will have a big celebration, and I'd like your input, and so be prepared to raise your hands in a few minutes. We are going to have on Saturday a film festival, probably in there. Lois has a whole bunch of information, pictures, film strips. I don't know what all she's got, but she's got something to do about showing us films and what's been going on. That Sunday morning, we'll have a worship service. And in the afternoon, our big choice is, would you like to come to the church and celebrate with a meal? What it is, for sure, we're not quite clear. Or would you like to go to the park? And so I kind of need for you to think about for a second what you would like to do. We can meet here and eat downstairs, and we can have a potluck or bring in food, and that will be determined. Or we can go to the park and have a regular old picnic. So
in June.
In June 2nd.
Not next Sunday.
No. I won't be. Okay, picnic in the park. Raise your hand. All right, the second one, second choice would be meeting here at the church with various people and invitees. So how many would prefer to be here? And it looks like picnic in the park. So if you have a personal desire and you want to talk to me or Lois, please do that. I invite you to invite somebody that you may know that has moved away. My references are going to be Joe and Dee Bozier, Bill and Sue Pennington, and Linda and Tom Newell, and I've been in contact with Pastor Kim. I will personally send them a letter and say, June 1st and 2nd, we're going to have thus and so, and so I invite you to invite somebody else. Lois has at least a dozen on her list that she'll be making contact with. So
I can make little invitations up, so then you can mail them off. So I'll have them in the church office if you want to stop by and pick up an invitation to mail off. How's that?
Sounds great.
So that way they'll all be uniform. So
okay, sounds great. So pick up invitation that you'll mail. Okay, and the third thing is, this is the last week to buy bricks.
All in all, it's just a... another brick in. Nobody is joining me for Rob.
We need it. Okay, Wednesday.
I guess that's all.
Wednesday, we have our long list of things happening. Thursday is the Bible study at 10 at Union and 7 here. Saturday at 11 a.m., the funeral for Tony. Is at 11. Are there other announcements? Enough's enough. Then let's go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.